Good morning, everyone, brothers and sisters in Christ and friends. Would you come together with me to ask God to help us listen to this morning's message? Let's go to God in prayer. Heavenly Father, we come before you at your throne of grace and ask you to grant us a listening heart to hear your word this morning. We pray that our hearts and minds be focused on you. May your spirit guide me in delivering your word and ministering to your people in today's sharing. This we ask and pray in Jesus' name. Amen. In this year's National Day celebration, our nation not only celebrated 59 years of nation building, but we also celebrated Maximilian Mader's Olympic bronze for sailing in kite foiling. It was indeed a beautiful birthday gift for our Singapore. How many of you were glued to the live report of the race and at the same time tuning in to the live telecast of our NDP? I did. It was very nerve-wracking and exciting. Well, an eight-year-long wait for an Olympic medal, Singapore's first Olympic medal in sailing and sixth across all sports. At 17 years old, Max is Singapore's youngest Olympic medalist. Max shared a hug with his mom after the race. His mother said, "I'm heartbroken because he said, I know my son, he doesn't feel good about himself. He felt like he has let a lot of people down." Though Max was initially disappointed with his win, Max said, "I still want to continue doing what I enjoy and continue bring this wonderful experience to all the people who support and follow me." Well, we hope Max will continue to strive his very best too. We hope he will finish all his races well. But would Max last until the end of his races if he knew he would only receive the bronze medal at the Paris Olympics? What if Max gave up the race halfway, even though he has trained very hard for it? All the waiting because of the lack of wind, all the frustration that the racers couldn't start. Would the athletes of Team Singapore last until the end of all the events in the Olympics if they knew that they were not going to receive any medals at the podium finish? What about you? What keeps you in the race of your Christian life? Would you last until the end of your Christian journey on earth? Until the end when you see God face to face? The writer in Hebrews urged the Jewish Christians to persevere in their faith. In chapter 1, verse 1 to 4, it says, "Don't abandon Jesus since he is superior to the angels." Chapter 3, verse 1 to chapter 4, verse 13, "Don't harden your hearts since you have Jesus, the Son of God, and the great high priest who is superior to Moses and Joshua." Chapter 4, verse 14 to chapter 5, verse 10, "Don't fall back to the Jewish faith because Jesus is the great high priest. He's superior to the order of Aaron. Jesus, the great high priest, is the reason that you can hold on to your faith tightly and draw near to God, especially in times of struggles in your faith. So come to the throne of grace and approach God with confidence to receive God's mercy and grace because of Jesus, the great high priest." How can we approach God with confidence when we struggle in our Christian life? How can we approach God with confidence when we fail Him badly? How can we approach God with confidence when we are weary or when we are weighed down by by our suffering? How can you approach God when Satan tempts you to despair, that you are no good, and tells you of the guilt within? How can you approach God when you are too fearful, too ashamed to face God? Will God listen? Will God care? Will God help? Will God forgive? The author of Hebrews commands the Jewish Christian to persevere in their Christian faith and not to fall back to their Jewish faith, to hold on to their confession of faith, since Jesus is greater than the angels and Moses, since Jesus grants a better rest than Joshua, since Jesus is the great high priest. What do you hold on to when you are in danger? What do you hold on to when you are in need? What do you hold on to when attacks are against you? A hiker holds on to the root of the tree for his life when a hiker fell off the cliff. He will hold on tightly to the root of the tree, depending on it while waiting for someone to rescue him, knowing well not to let it go because his life depends on it. A toddler holds on tightly to his parent's hand when he's starting to walk, knowing well not to let go of his parent's hands in case he falls. Hold on to your faith. The author of Hebrews in verse 14 says, "Since then we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession." The author of Hebrews commands the Jewish Christian to hold on to their faith, hold fast to their confession of faith, and resist the temptation to fall away because they have Jesus, their great high priest. Do you still remember the confession of faith that you profess? In Romans chapter 10, verse 9, the Apostle Paul says, "If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you'll be saved." It is the very identity of Jesus Christ that we follow and the very heart of confession that we made. Jesus, who is the Son of God, took on the human flesh and laid down his life so that we can be saved from the penalty of our sins. He has made propitiation for the sins of the people. That is, by his offering of sacrifice, he satisfied God's wrath against our sins. Because of Jesus, we are reconciled to God again. Because of Jesus, who is the high priest, we can come to God's presence. We can approach God with confidence because of Jesus. We can access to God's presence because of Jesus. In John chapter 14, verse 6 says, Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." In verse 14 of our text, the author of Hebrews says, "Because Jesus is the great high priest, let us hold our confession. Let us hold firmly to the faith we profess." The author urges believers not to abandon their faith, to hold fast our confession, to hold on to our faith, not to give up, not to let it go. So what is the cause of your confession? What is the cause of your confession of faith? The cause of holding on to the faith, the cause of following Jesus. Perhaps you have been ridiculed for your faith. Perhaps you are put to shame for your faith. Why are you so silly, taking your precious time to come to church? serving in this ministry, serving in that ministry. You should stay at home and nua. You should go all out to earn your money. The cost of living is so high. You should spend more time studying and excel in it. Why are you so fixated? Why can't you bend your Christian rules? I remember my own father challenged me to give up my faith in Christ. He said, "Don't go all out in your faith. It's foolish of you. You are still a Chinese. You still need to keep the family honor." However, I counted the cost. Yes, the cost of being ridiculed, the cost of being ostracized in the family, clan, the cost of being called a traitor in the family. But I chose to keep my confession of faith in Christ because the cost of not following Christ is far, far greater than the cost of following Jesus. The cost of not following Christ is far, far greater than the cost of following Jesus. For the cost of not following Jesus, the cost of abandoning my faith is being cut off from God the Father in heaven. Are there times in your life that tears your faith apart from God, that you question your faith in Christ? Are there times that you are tempted to give up your faith, giving up your relationship with God? The author of Hebrews commands us to hold fast our confession, to hold firmly to the faith that we profess, and not to let it go whenever we face temptation and trials. The author of Hebrews also warned the Jewish Christian not to abandon the faith, but to persevere in their faith by appealing to Jesus' priesthood. The author says it would be foolish to abandon their faith because Jesus, as the Son of God, is superior to the angels and Moses. It would be foolish to abandon your faith because Jesus, the great high priest, has entered God's presence. Jesus has passed through the heavens, seated at the right hand of God. Jesus has entered the presence of God by virtue of his priestly sacrifice. He is the great high priest who has brought us near to God because of his sacrifice, so that we can be with God forever. The author warns that if they abandon, if they renounce their faith, they will be cut off from God forever. So let us hold firmly to the faith we profess, since Jesus is the Son of God and the great high priest who has entered God's presence. By his priestly sacrifice, he has brought us near to God. We can approach God with confidence because of who Jesus is. He's the great high priest. We can also approach God at the throne of grace with confidence because Jesus, the great high priest, is able to sympathize with our weaknesses. In verse 15 says, "For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin." The author of Hebrews explained in verse 15 that the great high priesthood of Jesus is able to sympathize with our weakness, with our trials and temptation, because of his incarnation. He became fully human. In Hebrews chapter 2, verse 17, it says, "Therefore, he had to be made like his brothers in every respect, so that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in the service of God, to make propitiation for the sins of the people." In chapter 2, verse 17, says that he was made like his brothers in every aspect, in every way. To become a merciful and faithful high priest, the Son of God had to be made like us, human. Jesus was fully human and tempted in every way, just like we are. But he never sinned. Jesus knew our weaknesses and experienced temptation in the same way that we do. Yet he never sinned. If Jesus had sinned, his atonement would not have been sufficient because he could not have propitiated God's wrath against sin. But how can he sympathize with our weaknesses when he didn't sin? How can he understand your temptation when he didn't yield to sin? How can he understand your struggles? How can he know what you went through? C.S. Lewis explained, "A silly idea is current that good people do not know what temptation means. This is an obvious lie. Only those who try to resist temptation know how strong it is. After all, you find out the strength of the German army by fighting against it, not by giving in. You will find out the strength of the wind by trying to walk against it, not by lying down. A man who gives in to temptation after 5 minutes simply does not know what it would have been like an hour later. That is why bad people, in one sense, know very little about badness. They have lived a sheltered life by always giving in. We never find out the strength of the evil impulses inside us until we try to fight it. And Christ, because he was the only man who never yielded to temptation, is also the only man who knows to the full what temptation means. The only complete realist. And Christ, because he was the only man who never yielded to temptation, is also the only man who knows to the full what temptation means. Jesus understands the extent of the temptation that we went through because he never yielded to temptation. He understands the struggles in our weaknesses. Jesus knew the depths and pains we can never know because he didn't sin. In chapter 2, verse 18, it says that no human ever tempted like Jesus was because Jesus suffered. When he was tempted, he's able to help those who are being tempted. Do you struggle in the night? Are you overwhelmed by your weaknesses? Whatever we may be going through our weaknesses, Jesus knows. Jesus understands. Jesus can sympathize. So hold on firmly to your confession of faith in Jesus because he's able to sympathize and help those who are being tempted. The author of Hebrews closed this segment with a call to come to God at the throne of grace with confidence. Verse 16 says, "Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need." The author of Hebrews beckons us to come to God without hesitation. The throne of grace is also known as the throne of God. You can come to the throne of God with confidence because of your confession of faith in Christ. For those of us who have put our faith in Christ, hold on firmly to your faith. God offers you to come to the throne of grace through Jesus, the great high priest. his priestly sacrifice at the cross. As you come to the throne of grace, you will receive mercy for your past mistake, for your past failure, and grace to meet your future or your present and future needs. Even in our weaknesses, we can approach the throne of God with confidence because we know that God has fully and finally put away all our sin because of Jesus, our great high priest. And that is his grace through Jesus. Has life made you draw away from the throne of grace or draw near to the throne of grace? Has hardship in life or struggles at work, struggles in relationship, busyness of life draw you away from the throne of grace? If we fail to come to the throne of grace, we actually rob ourselves of the help that God will give us, his mercy, his grace, that God will give it to us. For those who have not put their faith in Christ, God offers you to come to the throne of grace through Jesus Christ, the great high priest. Your confidence is the confession of faith in Jesus Christ. Would you ponder on the saving grace of Jesus, the great high priest, who offered himself as the priestly sacrifice to atone your sin? Would you come to the throne of grace with confidence and receive his pardon through Jesus' priestly sacrifice? Let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence because of Jesus' priestly sacrifice work at the cross, so that we may receive mercy and grace to help us in time of need. We can approach God because of who he is. Believers, hold fast your confession of faith and approach God with confidence to receive mercy and grace. You're able to come to the throne of grace. Approach God because of who Jesus is. He's the great high priest, the better high priest, who is appointed by God and the priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. The author continues to explain in Hebrews 5 the reason that Christians can hold fast their confession because they have a better high priest. In verse 1 to verse 4, the author described the typical Old Testament high priest and contrasted it to Jesus, the great high priest, in verse 5 to 10. I will use the table above to explain the flow of the text, what we refer as chiasm in chapter 5, verse 1 to 10. Chiastic structure refers to the sequence of elements of a sentence or verse, paragraph, chapter, or even book, which are then repeated and developed, but in reverse order. Yeah, can I have the next slide? Yes. Ooh. Okay. The C and C is supposed to be one color. Anyway, verse 1, next slide. For every high priest chosen from among me is appointed to act on behalf of man in relation to God, to offer gifts and sacrifice for sin. In the Old Testament, the typical high priests were chosen among men to act on behalf of men. They are appointed to represent humankind before God, to offer gifts and sacrifices that atone for sin committed in the entire year. High priests must be human beings since they are chosen to represent human beings before God. They were chosen as mediators between man and God. In verse 9 to 10, it says, "And being made perfect, he became source of eternal salvation to all who obey. him, being designated by God a high priest after the order of Melchizedek. Jesus is the new office of high priest. Jesus' priesthood was perfect in contrast to the Old Testament high priest and grants salvation to those who belong to him. Jesus is the source of eternal salvation because he was made perfect by his obedience and because he was designated by God as the high priest after the order of Melchizedek. It was a calling granted to him, and salvation is found on Jesus' priesthood. Verse 2 to verse 3 talk about the solidarity of the high priest with the people. It says, he can deal gently with the ignorant and wayward, since himself is beset with weakness. Because of this, he is obligated to offer sacrifices for his own sin, just as he does for those of the people. The high priest in the Old Testament, the high priest in the Old Testament is also human and stained with sin, so he's able to relate and minister to those who also sin. The high priest is required to make an offering for his own sin and for the sin of the people. In verse 7 to 10, the talk about the solitary of Christ with his people. In verse 7 to 8, it says, in the days of his flesh, Jesus offered up prayers and supplication with loud cries and tears to him who was able to save him from death, and he was heard because of his reverence. Just as the high priest could identify with human beings, Jesus is also able to identify with his people as high priest. Even though he was without sin, he understands the anguish of human experience. He pleaded with God to deliver him from death, and God answered his prayer. As God's son, Jesus learned obedience through his suffering. This verse emphasizes Jesus' humanity in his human form. Jesus learned to trust God to do his will in the midst of his suffering. In verse 4, talk about the appointment of the high priest under the old covenant. In the OT, verse 4 says, and no one takes this honor for himself, but only when called by God, just as Aaron was. In the OT, the appointment of the high priest was called and chosen by God. It was not a man appointment, just as Aaron was called and chosen by God to serve as priest. Verse 5 to verse 6 talk about the appointment of Christ as the high priest. So also Christ did not exalt himself to be made a high priest, but was appointed by him who said to him, you are my son, today I have begotten you. As he says also in another place, you are a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. As son of God, he was appointed by God. As the words of Psalm 2, verse 7 attest to it, you are my son, today I have begotten you. This verse emphasizes Jesus' kingship because Jesus is a priest king like Melchizedek. God appointed Jesus to be a priest like Melchizedek. Who is Melchizedek? Melchizedek was a king of Salem, and God appointed a priest from a foreign land to himself. Jesus' appointment is confirmed by Psalm 110, verse 4, when David prophesies that the one who is the Lord, who is his Lord, is also a priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 1 to 10, the author of Hebrews wanted to contrast the old and the new priesthood in these verses. We live under the new priesthood. We can come to the throne of grace with confidence as we hold fast our confession of faith because of who Jesus is. Jesus is the great high priest, a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. What is a priest forever? What does it mean? A priest forever points to the messianic figure who fulfills this prophecy and distinguishes the order of Melchizedek priesthood than other priesthood. A priest forever means his priesthood will not be terminated. All other priests died, and death prevented them from serving as priests forever. However, Jesus, as the great high priest, served as a priest forever. Served as a priest forever because of his resurrection from the dead. What is stopping you from coming before the throne of God? Is it your shame? Is it your fears? Is it your sorrow? Is it your pride? Are you overwhelmed by your weaknesses? Are you weary? Are you feeling hopeless? Are you feeling guilty? What then keeps you in the race of your Christian life? Would you last until the end of your Christian journey on earth? The author of Hebrews commands Jewish Christians and us, the believers, to hold fast their confession, the confession of faith, to hold on firmly to their faith and not fall away from their faith, because Jesus, who is the great high priest, he's a priest forever. You can come and approach God with confidence because of Jesus' priesthood. So come to the throne of grace with confidence. You have a strong and perfect plea in Jesus. A great high priest whose name is love, whoever lives and pleads for you. When Satan tempts you and I to despair, and tells you of the guilt within, so upward you and I look, and we see him there who make an end to all your sins. We have a high priest who identifies with us. We have a high priest who is able to sympathize with us. We have a high priest who is able to save and deliver us. We have a high priest who is a priest forever. Come to the throne of grace and approach God with confidence, because Jesus is the great high priest. He is the priest forever.